Hello friends, and welcome to a rare three-man Friday edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. I am Mark Heath, I'm your host. Stuart Watson is drinking Guinness in Dublin, so he's not with us. But I'm pleased to say the young guns are. And I've got to start today with a man who's defied the doctors to be here. He stared death in the face on Monday. He said, "Not today, Mother Chuffer." Like Lazarus, he has risen. A phoenix from the flames. Yes, friends. Like Jesus H. Christ, he is risen. And don't get offended, I'm not comparing Alex Jones to Jesus Christ, because he's clearly better than Jesus Christ. Jesus may have been able to feed the 5,000, but did he know what Coventry's XG was? Could he talk about Indonesia's national football team? No, he couldn't. AJ, how are you?
Wow, that is probably the best intro I've had. Like, going back to when you first introduced me on this pod, full stop, I genuinely think that might just have topped it. I'm good.
Cheers.
Ish. Better. Ish. Yes. Cheers.
You're on a raft of drugs, are you not?
I'm on a raft of drugs. So I'm literally just like surrounded by tissues and painkillers and antibiotics and sadness. So that's essentially been what the last week has been.
Yeah.
But hopefully there is a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. You will see me dragging myself to Hull. And the last thing I'll say before I shut up as well is Happy Football Shirt Friday for those who celebrate. Obviously done for Cancer Research UK. I've gone with my Ajax third shirt today.
Oh, nice.
Sad to see that you guys haven't tagged along. But
I don't own a football shirt, sorry.
I was thinking, I was like, oh, Mark doesn't like football. So that's a bit of an issue here. But yeah, I went with it. Ross, I feel like, could pass off that he's done it. So yeah, Happy Football Shirt Friday to those who celebrate listening along. And if you pay to watch these videos, then you get to see my glorious.
That is nice. What's Ajax shirt. That's the Ajax third shirt from which season?
Oh, would have been two or three years ago? I can't remember now. It was one where it got hyped up for ages. It was a
is
lovely shirt.
Is it the Bob Marley one?
Yes, the Bob Marley Three Little Birds shirt. But yeah, it got hyped up for ages, and I'm pretty sure they did pretty badly in it in the end. But still, it's a lovely shirt, nonetheless.
There we go.
Had to go with that one.
We're all things to all people. As I say, I don't own a football shirt anymore. I got rid of all of mine. I had a lot of them, but they're all gone now because I never used them, worn them, anything like that. Rossi, do you own a football shirt? I should say, of course, from AJ, a man who's better than Jesus, to Ross, a man who looks like Jesus. Do you own any football shirts, Rossi?
Yeah, a few. I'm really tempted to buy some of the retro issue stuff. They brought out the Umbro sort of one, the white one, the Foysons. That looks really nice. Although, as I think I said, maybe it was on a group chat or wherever I went, I just fear that I'll get something down it straight away and I'll ruin it.
It's always a fear with white clobber, immediately spatter some tomato ketchup down it or something.
Yeah, always. I chew them to my burger and all the ketchup goes into it.
Exactly. It's just asking for trouble. All right, friends. So it's just three of us today. As I say, Stewie's in Dublin, living life to the max, drinking Guinness. Getting ready for that long trip to Hull tomorrow. So this is just going to be a short little pod just to bring you something ahead of the game. Clearly, we haven't spoken since Monday, which is mainly a mailbag thing. A few things happening since then. I guess we should start, AJ, if your throat allows it, to talk about some breaking news we've just had, which is not unexpected, to be fair, but still all part of this kind of groundswell of good feeling, momentum, optimism, hugely impressive support around Ipswich Town. Season tickets have sold out already.
Yeah, that's fairly impressive, isn't it? So these prices were announced at the end of last month, I believe. They went on sale a few days later. Obviously, there's renewal windows, and then the theory is that people who don't renew, they then put the other seats on sale. The kind of window that they have to do that, in theory, is they're allowed to have about 21,000 renewals, but 20,000 were renewed, so no further seats go on sale. They're going to have a few more that will go on kind of a match by match selling basis, fair enough. And pardon me, that's a good start. From there, they're now going to create a waiting list for the 2025-26 season. God, that feels weird to say 2025-26. So,
wow, it
basically means, yeah, they've sold out the season tickets already, which is weird because it's a strange balance of a big surprise and also not at all a surprise in terms of. I've seen quite a few town fans saying, imagine 5 years ago saying that we'll be selling out our season ticket allocation. We're going to have waiting lists. Like, you hear about all these top clubs, European clubs, having waiting lists for season tickets, stuff like that. with West Ham, I have a very brief waiting list season ticket for the season ticket that I have. And you hear the same kind of thing when Ajax and Real Madrid and Barcelona and now Ipswich and in what is still quite a big stadium have got the same kind of thing. And it just shows how far the club have come. It's a fantastic moment. It probably pushes them in the right direction to start doing a few more bits of work to expand the stadium, as we all know the plans are, but just shows that there's so much excitement, so much growth in this football club, and it's all just going in the right direction.
Hold the phone. Did you just reveal you've got a season ticket at the fucking Hammers?
You knew this.
I didn't. I assumed you had a season ticket at the U's, the mighty underdog U's, but I didn't know you had one.
Well, I can't
Hammers.
Do that because they clash with all the Ipswich games.
You've got a season ticket at the Hammers, have you? Yeah. Because obviously your missus is a West Ham fan, isn't she?
Yeah.
Good man. Hutchie, yeah. Again, another similarity between the two of you. Hutchie also used to go to West Ham all the time.
He also had the season
ticket. Sure, you're not related? You're not like long lost brothers or something?
He also had the season ticket. So, yeah. I don't know. We will need to do a DNA check.
Yeah, because there's a lot. It's starting to add up now. Rossi, season ticket news, obviously good. It puts me in mind of the American football side, the Green Bay Packers, who their fans, as soon as they have a baby, they put them on the waiting list for a season ticket in the hope they might get one come free when they're like 65 or something. So we've got a little way to go until town are at Green Bay Packers level, but still, all adds up to this beautiful feeling around town, doesn't it?
As we said before, it's the golden ticket. I wasn't surprised to see it getting sold out, 20,000+ people having a season ticket. I know there's a few, I was about to call them crazy, but they're just passionate fans who have got season tickets when they, like, I think there's Daryl, who's one of our listeners on the show. I think he lives in America. He's got a season ticket. There's a few others who travel across the country, across the world, and they have a season ticket because they know, if they are in the country, at least they know they've got a ticket, because obviously to get a ticket these days, even just a general ticket, it's hard to get one.
Yeah.
So obviously fans are just so happy at the moment. The football they see, they've got a team that they just love. This team is such a enjoyable team to watch. Obviously, when we were in League One, that's probably the best time to get a season ticket back then. You can just
get on board early. Yeah.
Yeah, just get there. Obviously, you had 4 years of bad, or 3 years of bad football in League One, but then now, you've got the benefits now to know you potentially could have a season ticket for the Premier League, which is mad to think, three games away. But no, not surprised, when Mark Ashton, he was laughed at, wasn't he, when he first came in and said, we're going to get 20,000, season ticket holders, I think people at the club going, no chance. But, well, he's called for the town fans and they've answered, and here we go, sold out, not that.
It's a good shout, actually, Rossi. Obviously, we know DJ, friend of the show number one, lives in Florida, has a season ticket, flies over all the time to watch town, which is impressive. I wonder what the furthest flung season ticket holder we have listening to the show is. Mm-hmm. If you are listening, and I'm talking here having a season ticket, well, I suppose it doesn't matter. If you've got a season ticket and still regularly get to games, or at least get to games as much as you can, where do you live? Let us know. So we've got DJ in Florida. I wonder what the furthest away is. Interesting. Let us know. Right then, let's move on. Press conference yesterday, AJ. You dragged your sorry carcass there, infected everyone in your vicinity while doing it like a hero. So hopefully there won't be illness spreading through the squad now. The final week of the season, imagine that.
So if town now don't go up,
yeah, I think I'm blaming
comes
you.
Out and says, like, oh yeah, we've had a bit more illness in the camp.
Yeah, we've had this terrible.
I'm going to get blamed for Ipswich Town's terrible, entire downfall.
This terrible throat issue that's swept through the squad means we have to play the under-18s in the final game of the season. Obviously, there was some big news come out yesterday, and I want to talk to you about some behind the scenes stuff as well. But first of all, the big news, clearly another feel good factor around the Blues and a massive boost for the run in, because two big players could well be playing a part. Talk to us about this.
Yes. Let me start by saying the illness has gone. We've had a lot about the illness, haven't we? It's apparently out. And Kieran McKenna was saying, oh, well, this has been a big thing, but now we can't really use it anymore. We didn't use an excuse. It was a big thing, but it's done.
Yeah.
The other big news, of course, and the real big news is, looks like we're going to have two very big players back in for the final three games of the season, Wes Burns and George Hurst. Look like they're going to be playing a part. So they've been involved in training in the last couple of weeks. They've been training throughout this week. If they get through the session today on Friday, then it looks like they're going to be traveling up to Hull to play some sort of part, even if it's just on the bench at Hull tomorrow evening. So that is a huge, huge boost for Ipswich, just in terms of having that attacking depth. We haven't seen George Hurt in an Ipswich Town shirt since Boxing Day. That was when he pulled up with that hamstring injury against Leicester City. He tried to play on, play through it. I think, I don't know, maybe it's speculating, but I think maybe trying to do that might have made it a bit worse. It was really looked like he was in agony by the second time he'd gone down there, and it was quite a nasty one. So it's fantastic to see him back. Is there an argument that he might need to be eased into it a little bit potentially? But when that was put to Kieran McKenna yesterday, he said, well, he's a fit boy and he'll be ready and up for it and raring to go. So I think McKenna's hopefully can get back into it. With Wes Burns, he's been out for, I think it's just over a month now, about kind of month, 6 weeks. He injured his hamstring, not as seriously, in the Sheffield Wednesday 6-0 win. There were fears that was going to be season ending and, you know, Euros ending. Obviously, Wales didn't make it to the Euros. And it looks like he is going to be back for the final three games, just add a bit more depth and pace and energy on that right flank. So in a week where we're now getting kind of a bit more fitness into the legs, in terms of having a two-week break, not only do we have that, but now the options are starting to come back for this final week as well. That's going to be really, really important. It's knowing that you can rotate the team. It's knowing that you've got the options on the bench. There's a lot of different possibilities in terms of what Kieran McKenna can go with in these final three games. And it's just pretty much having a fully healthy squad at this point. So if there's ever going to be a point to have it, you'd want it for the final week of the season. And it looks like they're both going to have a part to play.
Mm. Rossi, picture the scene tomorrow at Hull. 0-0. 80 minutes gone. Kiefer Moore's run himself into the ground like he always does. Battling single-handedly against the Tigers' defence. He's blunted their teeth. And then off the bench comes big George Hurst. That's a pretty good option to have, isn't it? Even just having him on the bench is a good feeling.
Yeah, massive boost. I think even for the, you know, his teammates, I'm sure they're happy to see him back, because it was such a sad sort of scene, wasn't it? Boxing Day against his former club, Leicester. It was at the first half as well. He came off. So, you know, he didn't really have an opportunity to really show how he's grown. Obviously, you know, we signed him permanently from Leicester. He has been a big miss. Obviously, we brought Kiefer Moore and Ali Al-Hamadi. But yeah, that would be an unbelievable scene returning. His first touch just scores.
Yes.
That's the winner. Happy days.
Scores with his hamstring on his first touch.
Love that. But a massive boost. And that's what you want to see with three games left to go. Two big players to come in. And they'll definitely make an impact, I'm sure.
Yeah. I just hope, especially someone like Wes Burns, whose game is so predicated on pace. Hamstring injuries and pacey players always worry me. And I'm sure, obviously, they're not going to risk if it is a risk. But I just hope we don't get a recurrence of an injury with Wes Burns desperately trying to kind of play a part in these last three games. Let's see. In terms of other stuff yesterday, AJ, I want to go behind the scenes, as we like to do. You got to interview Kiefer Moore yesterday, which is the first time he's kind of met the media pre-game since arriving back on loan. Now, Kiefer is obviously quite a large chap, 6'5" brick wall of muscle. In contrast, I would say you are fairly diminutive. A 5'7" brick wall of muscle. But you gave some insight yesterday, because obviously you make a point of shaking hands with all the players. You've told us before that Vaclav Hladký's got a very firm handshake. But give us some insight into Big Keith, because you said his hand was roughly the size of your arm.
Yeah. So what you do notice as well when you're doing this every single week is the handshake thing. It's what all the players come and do. They come and shake hands. We're all very polite here. It's a very polite club, et cetera, et cetera. You can kind of rank them on the scale. You could have, before this, you know, goalkeepers, big gloves, big hands, fair enough. That's what you expect. Fairly firm handshake from Vaz. Top of the chart was definitely Sam Morsey.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely one for a strong handshake.
Yeah,
bottom of the scale is Amari Hutchinson, who kind of does quite a loose hole. It's kind of like this.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh. Yeah, fair enough. But it was quite cool. I feel like it shows how relaxed he is as a person.
Okay.
And then you get Kiefer Moore. Woof, woof. obviously, you asked for a photo of us stood side by side.
Yeah, I really want that.
Wasn't really the right setting to do it.
No, I can understand.
We'll hopefully get to a point where there is a right setting for that to happen. And when it does happen, I want it to be like the full arms crossed, like stood next to each other like that.
Yeah.
Trying to look really tough. But yeah, he comes over. He almost did knock his head on the top of the door frame walking through to just show how tall he is. And then from there, yeah, he comes in, shakes everyone's hand, and I was like, oh my God. Okay. Definitely in terms of hand size, in terms of the power of the handshake, the grip. This ranks top by quite a way. Sorry, Sam. But okay. They're definitely quite a lot behind that. Lovely guy, by the way.
Yeah, he spoke really well, didn't he?
Friendly giant, speaks really, really well. Definite kind of friendly giant vibes. But if you want the size comparison, I'm roughly the same height as Connor Chaplin. So I guess it's if you have Chappers stood next to Big Chief Keith, then you'll roughly know what the size difference is there. And when you're stood next to him, when you're shaking his hand, you really, really feel it.
Yeah, I don't think I fully appreciate just how big Kiefer Moore is. I mean, I've not actually stood next to him, but just on TV, I remember saying there was a period when he was stood next to Cameron Burgess, and Cameron Burgess is obviously a big unit, but Moore is another head taller and wider as well. He is a properly impressive specimen.
It's how he's built as well. I mean, it's not just the height; it's the fact that he really does. It's just how he's built. It is really, really solid. Like, you don't necessarily see it as much with Cameron Burgess. Like, this is someone who's a proper kind of looks like the athlete vibe. Yeah. You can really sense that. And you can see it with how he plays as well, with his athleticism. And it's also, I mean, it's one of those things that when you then see him as well close up, you're like, how the hell are you as kind of agile as you are on the pitch? Because any player who's that height, and you know, there are quite a few players who have that sort of height, they're usually big lumps, get it on the head, smack it in. And you know that Kiefer Moore isn't just that, not at this point in his career. And you're thinking, bloody hell, if I was your height, I'd not even try to be able to walk. And you're able to like run in between little gaps and shoot. And all that. So yeah, fair enough. But definitely an eye opener when you're up close to them.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good like heavyweight boxer, Kiefer Moore. I don't know what his weight is, but I suspect that he could probably hit light heavyweight. And with that height and athleticism, I think he'd be really good at it. He's got long arms, hasn't he? And as you say, a proper athlete as well. So yeah, if you're looking for a second sport, Kiefer, give a shot at boxing. Get Fabio to give you a few lessons. I'd like to see that. And one more thing, we'll come on to Rossi in a minute, because you made quite a bold statement before we started rolling, Ross, which I want to talk to you about. And one more thing from the presser. I owe you an apology, AJ. Every now and then, I ask you boys to ask questions because I think that might give us a nice line. And yesterday I asked you explicitly to ask Kieran McKenna what he's done with his Championship Manager of the Season award. My thinking was, Kieran's not really the sort of person who puts much stock in individual achievements. Therefore, hopefully he'll say something like, oh, it's in the garage, or, oh, I don't know where it is, or, oh, I gave it to the staff at Portman Road because it's for them. But instead, the way you've told it anyway, you got blank looks and tumbleweed when you asked that question.
A little bit. He seemed to find it quite funny. So this was my first question of my bit as I asked about it. He does this thing where I think Kieran's always so precise with how he answers questions that it can make you feel a little bit kind of on edge, like, oh my God, have I asked the wrong thing? But he'll always take usually like 2 to 3 seconds to think about what he wants to say.
Yeah, he's thoughtful, isn't he?
Exactly. So I asked him about it. He does that. And then he had this little laugh and explained that I think Marcus, the press officer in the background, kind of going, fair enough. He explained that he said, you know, the trophy got taken back by someone. It got put in my office. And then as well, for those who don't know, I got some very strict instructions from Mr. Heath that said, whatever he says, so ask why. Make sure you ask why.
Well, I think that was me thinking he'd go, oh, I don't know.
So he said he put it in his office and he said, oh, yeah, you know, I just had it taken back and it got put in my office. And I then went, okay, why have you done that, Kieran? And he just kind of, again, had that little pause and then just went, because I've got lots of cool things there, lots of nice football memorabilia, and it looks really nice in the middle of all of that. And I was just like, okay, have you got an injury update?
You've got an hour to bail out, haven't you? You're not getting any more from that.
It was one where, as well, you sometimes try and like almost create a bit of a narrative in terms of how you ask your questions in press conferences, in terms of leading from one thing to another. But I tried to position this in different parts of kind of my list of questions. I was like, it doesn't really fit anywhere. So I'm just going to put it at the start. and just like get it out of the way and it'll be fine. And then just hopefully it will all just kind of mesh into one and people will forget everything's happened after that. And also the nice thing to do as well, sometimes it's the same with players. It can be the same with managers. You kind of want them to loosen up a little bit when they start talking to you. So something like that might kind of get them thinking, might kind of get them laughing, might kind of get them thinking that you're an idiot, whatever. But I think that kind of worked quite well. And if Kieran, if you are listening to this, if you are an avid KOA listener,
sure he is.
That was not my question.
Yeah, sorry. That was me, Kieran. I do apologise for that. Yeah, my bad. I say, I thought, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So always worth asking a question. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. It's the name of the game. Rossi, before we started rolling, we were talking briefly about what we were going to discuss. While AJ briefly catches his composure after that long period of talking, hopefully he's back with us shortly. And obviously there's been action while Town haven't been playing, midweek action, which I think probably fair to say every single result has been not what we wanted. But you said boldly beforehand, clearly Leeds are playing tonight as well, you don't care. You're properly taking the Kieran McKenna approach, focusing solely on oneself and ignoring everything else that's going on in terms of action and where they're going to be in the table tomorrow by the time they kick off.
Obviously, I'll see what the score is, but I won't actually watch
it. Oh, you won't ignore it. So you will look at the score.
Yeah, I'll go after the game. I won't actually watch it physically because it's not my team. I'm not going to watch, you know. Obviously, I won't have a game and stuff like that. You know, but the problem is a lot of people, every time I see them, we talk about it and we're trying to do the maths. Like, so if they drop points here, if we win that, obviously, if we win all three games, we're up. But like, you do all the maths, you're talking about like, if they lose and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, do you know what? I can't be arsed with it, to be honest. I just want to go to the three Ipswich Town games. And if we won all three of them, we're up. If we drop points, lose points, then you've got to hope, well, hopefully Leeds are drop points. But I think everyone's just getting a bit, you know, what's the word? Come on, Ethan, you know the word.
I don't know. What do you mean? A bit what?
Just going a bit too deep, thinking too deep.
Hyper-fixated.
Yeah, that's maybe that word.
Overthinking.
Yeah, just looking too deep into it. Try all the maths, looking at the just go with the flow. Take each game as a time, as Kieran McKenna says. I still think he's lying. He does look at the table.
Of course he does, yeah.
You've got to. But I don't want to look too deeply into it. I'm just going to go to Hull. And if, you know, obviously Leeds, Leicester will be playing before we play, which will be, so we'll know anyway going into that game. But ladies and gentlemen, just enjoy it. I know people will probably hate me saying that now because I've said it all the time, but let's just not think too deeply into it.
Okay. With that in mind then, Ross, what do you make of the kind of promotion race as it stands? Because obviously Leicester absolutely murdered Southampton on Tuesday. A great chant, by the way. I don't know if you heard it, for Fatawu. Obviously got a hat-trick and an assist. Have you heard the chant to the sound of Voulez-vous by ABBA? Fatawu! Aha! Yeah, it's brilliant. Anyway,
every club seems to be doing that now. Sport. Obviously, Town have done it, and it does feel like most clubs have got
I like that
variation
one.
Of it.
It works it is well. Good. Anyway, so Leicester look like they're up, Rossi. You'd have to say they've only got. I think they've only got to win one of their last two games. I think, in fact, if Leeds lose tonight, they can actually get promoted, can't they? Technically. Anyway, so it looks like Leicester are gone. Southampton looks like they're in the playoffs. I think they pretty much are in the playoffs. So it is going to be Leeds v Town, isn't it, Rossi? Would you say?
Yeah, shoot out for us, really. Yeah, Leicester pretty much there. Obviously, they had that game in hand. I think they had that game in hand for bloody ages.
Yeah.
And we've still got that game in hand right now, but Leicester had that one over all of us for a long time. So, I can't see them dropping, you know, much points in the next two games. Leeds. Yeah, obviously, the Borough game, we were hoping they were going to, once again... Yeah, okay, I was watching. I didn't watch that game, but obviously I looked at the score and went, okay, that's not ideal. But it is what it is, really. I'm not going to watch Leeds tonight because I don't, you know, I've got plans, so I'm not going to bother. As I said, like, maybe at 10 o'clock I'll go, oh, okay, yeah, okay, they've done that. Okay, fair enough, on to Hull. But it's going to be interesting, you know, final few games.
Absolutely it is. AJ, how are you feeling about it all? You obviously, what kind of lunatic, by the way, would say that Leicester wouldn't win the league?
I know, yeah. I have no idea who possibly think that, but I mean, there are people who said maybe they weren't as good as kind of we suggest, you know, record-breaking totals, best teams in the history of football, all those different things. How am I feeling? Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, in terms of the Leicester thing, I think I kind of saw it happening where the trend was emerging that they were really bad away from home and really good at home. And then I looked at their run-in and I think it was four games, three of them were at home, and you kind of got the sense that it was going to go that way and would have taken. I mean, at the end of the day, it could have happened in the sense of the West Brom game they had over the weekend. I thought West Brom were pretty good, created a lot of chances and couldn't finish to save their
West
lives.
West Brom should have won that game, if we're honest. Yeah.
And then if that kind of ends up with a West Brom win, that Southampton game could be a totally different situation. Southampton could be going there. Again, maybe they didn't have the result at Cardiff if that gone the other way. They go to Leicester and they're buoyed by it. Leicester are getting booed every time they lose the ball, et cetera, et cetera. Totally different situation. But at the end of the day, you do have got to say fair play to Leicester. If they didn't deserve to win on Saturday, they probably did, I'd say, just about in midweek.
Southampton were awful, though, weren't they?
They were bad.
They were.
I mean, there was a bit of controversy, I think, around that first goal in terms of was it a foul on Adams? Was it offside? But if you do that and then you just totally go down like a deck of cards, I mean, that second half from Southampton was nothing short of like, I mean, I think Russell Martin says nothing short of a disgrace what they were doing in that kind of 15, 20-minute period. They were so poor. So it is absolutely, at this point, a straight shootout. I think that a lot will now hinge on tonight. I think that this game between Leeds and QPR probably, I'd say the Borough game suits Leeds or suited Leeds more just because it was always going to be so open. It was always going to be Borough going hell for leather and Leeds kind of picking them off, whereas QPR are a strong defensive unit. The pitch is tiny. The stadium's tiny. It's going to be very narrow. They're going to be right up for it in this kind of siege mentality thing. They know that if they get, I think, a point, it'll be enough to keep them up. I definitely know three would keep them up. So I think that it will be harder. I'm not saying that it won't end in another Leeds win, but I definitely don't think it's the game that Leeds want. Also thinking about this, that they've gone to Borough on a Monday night. It's not miles away from Leeds, but it's still a trip. They probably won't go back till Tuesday. They'll probably be given Tuesday off, then to rest. They'll train Wednesday. Thursday, they could end up going down to London ahead of the game today. They're now playing away from home again on a Friday night. They haven't had a break. It's just tough. But it's true. It's true, Ross. You can shrug as much as you want. It's a tiring schedule. When Town have had 2 weeks off to rest and prepare, and you're Leeds and you've done all these games, you've put so much into the games and you've now got this short gap, it must be pretty exhausting. So that's the advantage that we hope Town have got. Obviously, by the end of tonight, we really know what needs to happen. If Leeds lose, then it definitely takes off a little bit of pressure. But there's still going to be, pardon me, there's still going to be a gap to cut. And the games that Town have, as I'm sure we'll get onto, they're not easy ones either.
Well, let's start then now, Rossi. Hell of a journey tomorrow. Liam from Crewe is your driver, I understand. Watson is going to be there. He's not covered a game, I don't think, since the derby. He's not doing press conferences anymore either. He can't be bothered. So he's going to the game tomorrow. That's good. How are you feeling about this, though, Rossi? Because obviously Hull won in midweek. They need to win again. It's a must-win, really, for them in terms of staying in the playoff race. They're 3 points, aren't they, off Norwich? They definitely need a result tomorrow night. Is that a good thing, though, for Town? Because they're going to have to play, aren't they? And generally speaking, when teams try and play with Town, it doesn't necessarily end too well for those teams.
Yeah, I think the best performance of the season was against Hull at Portland Road. Yeah. And that 3-0 win, that was a cracking performance from Town. Of course, Hull came to Portland Road and, yeah, they got torn apart. And I do like Liam Rossini as a manager. He's another young, upcoming manager. Obviously, a former Town loanee. Put the ex-Blues correspondent hat back on for a short moment. Very short loan spell. But yeah, they've got their team on paper. Like, they've got Fabio Cavallio on loan for Liverpool. Like, how has that happened? And I think he scored like 10 goals already from his only signed in Jan, which is just crazy. They are going to be a tough game. I think I was speaking to the Hull City reporter and he said it's going to be an absolute cracker because at Hull, they need a win, as you said, because they got to hope West Brom and Norwich drop points. because they're still in for a slight chance. You know, that was a great win against Coventry. Once again, that was a... I didn't watch it, but from the highlights and what I heard, it was a classic, a championship classic, you know, end-to-end stuff, you know, goals, you know, galore. It's going to be a tough game. I haven't been to Hull for many years. I think the last time I went was the relegation season, I think. And we've not won many times against Hull at their stadium. I think it's only twice in our history. So, yeah, it's not been a great place to go. But, nah, should be an interesting game.
So, by the time they kick off tomorrow, AJ, they could be, potentially will be, 4 points behind Leeds. Clearly, psychology then plays a big part. We know that in the past we'd have had worries. I certainly would have had worries about that. But this town is built different, as they say. How are you feeling about this one? Because it is a game that Hull have to get something out of. They've got some really good players. We know that. And they've got a really good young manager. So it's not going to be an easy test. And we know, obviously, McKenna says before every game, we've got to be at our very best to get anything out of it. But they are going to have to be. They are going to have to play well tomorrow to get something out of this.
Yeah, I think the whole situation similar to Town, where if they see results have gone against them in the earlier games, it might just be a bit of a sucker punch. They've obviously got Norwich, who are playing Swansea, West Brom are at Sheffield Wednesday. So those are two games where if those two teams win, then it's hard for Hull at that point. I mean, it's going to be hard for Hull anyway. It does definitely help that if they do have something to play for come kickoff, that they'll need to come at Town, because standing toe-to-toe with Town, I'd say, was Hull's biggest mistake at Portman Road. And I think you could definitely see that in kind of the first half and second half approach. In the first half, Rossini was so adamant to do it, and he just got torn to pieces. They were just shredded. It was probably Town's best half of the season, just because there was so much space to work with. And then Hull sat a little bit deeper after the break. Town just did what they always do in that point and just knock it around, basically, and get all the olays, all that kind of thing. With Hull in general, it's they're such a bizarre team, because I look at Liam Rossini and think he's done a fantastic job, and then I look at the squad and think that should be in the top six already. 100%. It's a squad that's good enough to do that. Their results primarily have come against teams that have struggled more than anything. That they're occasionally they come across as a bit kind of flat trap bullies kind of thing, that a lot of the points have come against bottom the struggling teams have now sacked their managers. I've got this whole list of stats here as well, but the kind of the basic things of how to break down a side. If you press them high, they'll struggle. They're a team that like to have time on the ball and then try and be a bit slow in their build-up. You press them, they will really struggle. If you man-mark Seri, Jean-Michel Seri, and take him out of the game, you're good. They've lost their kind of biggest outlet, and the person who sprays the passes around. Essentially, it's a similar kind of role to Sam Morsey. If you then kind of force them into kind of the wide areas in their own third, you'll be able to just nullify their key threats, because as well, they're a little bit lopsided in the sense that their recruitment, it looks so good on paper. There's so many left-sided players, but if you force them out wide, the players through the middle, I don't think are quite as exciting and electric. And there are just different ways of going about nullifying their key threats. And that's what teams have found out. Now, obviously, in the last few weeks, their form has been quite good. I think they've unbeaten five off the top of my head. So there's definitely a lot to suggest that they are a good team. And I think if Rossini is given a similar summer window, he will be under pressure to get that team into the top six. And it is definitely a tough, tough test for Town. And you can see it with the results that they have picked up. But they're a strange team. It's a really hard game to predict in that sense, and what to predict from them. And also then factoring in all the other circumstances, Rossini has come out and said it's our cup final as well, which means you know that they're going to really come for Town. He's asked for a big atmosphere. Is that just going to be a bit too much for those players? They've also played in midweek, and there's a factor of saying, well, Town might be the fresher team, but in that sense, are Hull going to be a little bit more match fit? There's so many different factors that come into it, but maybe it does play into Town's hands a little bit.
Yeah, once again, there, Jesus couldn't come up with a game plan to beat Hull, could he? You just done that again, demonstrating your superiority. Well, see, what about the team then? As far as we know, Town are pretty much fully fit. We know Hurst and Burns are coming back in, hopefully, they make it through training today. Is there any kind of questions for you around the team? You're not going to risk, for example, you're not going to risk George Hurstley from the start on Wes Burns. They're going to be people coming off the bench. But is there anything, anywhere you would be tinkering, anywhere you would definitely be playing players over other players?
Just have a little look at the... Because it's been so long.
It seems
playing.
Like a lifetime ago, doesn't it, since it was played?
Yeah. Let's have a little look at the Borough team. Obviously, Ali Hamady actually started that game, didn't he?
You'd imagine Big Keith's going to come in for this one.
You'd think so. Sarmiento obviously starred and had a good game. Hutchison as well. Moores and Luongo started in that game. Also, you know, Taylor started in the previous game. Twanzebe at right back. Yeah, I think Kiefer Moore probably would be the starter for me. And then you probably stick with... Do you just stick with Hutchison and Sarmiento as your... But then Broadhead start. No. Oh, there's too many choices, boys.
I know you hate talking about this.
Yeah.
And AJ just unmuted himself with a mischievous look on his face. So I didn't know if he was gonna pop something
in. It was a whoops. But yeah, it was also me thinking at the same time. I don't really remember. I don't know if this is just me or if this is going to be really bad. Do you guys actually remember that much about the Borough game? It's so long ago.
No, I don't
it
remember feels much kind of like a fever about many treat. Games, I've got to be honest.
Is that because you don't watch them?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Sorry.
Someone's got a fever. Someone's getting brave. No, I mean, I generally like football. I'm sure it's the same for you. You watch so much football. They all kind of blend into one, don't they? I often have trouble recalling things that have happened in individual games. But yeah,
I can do it with certain ones, but then you kind of get blocks, I feel, more than anything, where they just kind of like, if you ask me to differentiate some moments between the Watford game and the Borough game, for example, sorry, Benson, I would struggle in terms of saying, oh, but you remember that last minute shot where I think it was Kayembe smacked one and Vazza to tip it over the bar. It was against Watford, obviously. If you said to me that happened against Middlesbrough, I would say, oh, yeah, it happened against Middlesbrough. It just that they all really do kind of end up blending into one sometimes.
I think we're talking about the team before we before you
sorry about that.
Your boss and leader. what are you doing with the team? Rossi says he doesn't know. There's too many options. What are you doing? I, for example, would definitely be bringing in Broadhead for this game. I'd have Broadhead starting every day of the week. Clearly, Kiefer Moore. I guess you've got to persist with Amari on the right hand side. Right back, I suppose, is a conversation. Axel and Harry Clark. I think personally, Harry Clark gives Town more going forward. So I'd probably have Harry Clark in this game. What would you do though, AJ?
I like how Ross doesn't know, which essentially must mean why Burt and Albion are in a relegation battle going down tomorrow. Sorry, Ross. No
AJ's
wonder you don't
fire.
Know.
It's like that fever. It's just affecting his brain. What he's doing.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm pretty much in the same boat in terms of looking at the changes. The only two that stand out, you'd say, is bringing Nathan Broadhead. Especially after a two-week break, he's someone that, if he can have a bit of a breather, given how much energy he exerts, you want him in your team. He's going to be in good form. You want him on the left, so I'd probably have him in Sarmiento. Alhamadi is an option off the bench in a game like this. Feels perfect. So start Kiefer Moore. And then from there, it's just the right-back situation. I think that it's a really tricky one because the right-back position is going to be key in terms of that left side of Hull that I pointed out because they are lopsided. It's where a lot of their threats are going to come from. And it's about who's going to be better in those 1v1s. I think Twanzebe has been quite good in that kind of position. He has been caught out a little bit high for my liking at times, but then Harry Clark plays halfway up the pitch sometimes, so you don't really win in that case. I'd go Axel Twanzebe for this one.
Yeah, that's the side that Philogene plays on, isn't it? So
yes,
yeah.
So they and then Carvalho kind of drifts over to that side. They've got Seri who plays on the left of a 4-4-2. That's where a lot of this quality comes.
Yeah, so there is definitely an argument that you go with the superior, I suppose, defensive prowess and pedigree of of Twanzebe there. Prediction time then, Rossi. Can you give us an update on the predictions, please? Because I know that I was the only one who correctly predicted a draw against Middlesbrough. I think the only thing left to play for is whether or not I or Stu finishes bottom. AJ's romping to the title. You're very, very secure in second place. Is there an update you can give us, Ross, before we give our predictions? I think I must be 2 points, 3 points clear of Stu, something like that.
Yeah, I'm just quickly bringing up the graphic. So, yeah, you're 2 points clear of Stu.
Is it updated after my correctly getting Middlesbrough draw?
Yes.
It is. Excellent.
Yes, yes. Obviously, you didn't get a...
No, I know. I didn't get the score right. Points. Yeah, yeah.
Who scored to As Luongo, weren't it?
So no, yeah, one, none of us got Luongo.
So, yes, AJ's with 50 points on 41. So, I need basically maximum points.
You need a perfect week. Yeah. Like
you need a town. Yeah.
So, come on, boys. So I need to get my,
It feels like then AJ in that case should go first in this prediction, being as he is the champion elect.
He probably knows what I want.
Do you want to go first then, Ross?
Because I'll let you pick. If you want to go first, you go first.
You should have the advantage because let's make it interesting, shall we?
Okay. I'm gonna go.
You're gonna pick 2-1. First.
Okay. Oh, you're going with the time on a 2-1.
Yeah, 2-1.
To town, I'm assuming.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna bet against Tower this stage of the season because I'll be getting pitchforks, people coming, chasing me, going, "What are you doing, Ross?" But yeah, 2-1. First goal scorer will be a nice. Do I go rogue or do I go safe? Because I need that extra bonus point. Let's go for a nice Connor Chaplin goal.
Safe, yeah. Safe pair of hands.
Very safe.
10cc. 2-1 Connor Chaplin. That's what Rossi's saying. AJ, you've told us how to beat Hull, how to nullify Hull. What are you saying then?
Head versus heart, this in a little way. I can't lie. I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw.
Oh.
I'm going to go 2-1. This feels goals. Having looked as well at some of Hull's recent games, they've got goals in them as well. We've started to find where the back of the net is. But I think they might be a bit tired. I just think it balances out. So I'm going to go 2-2. And I'm going to go Nathan Broadhead to score first.
Nathan Broadhead. I also think this game will be a draw. And I'm not bold enough to say 3-3. So I'll say 1-1. And I think I'm going to say Kiefer Moore. Not a goal from Kiefer for a little while. He's had 2 weeks off to sort himself out. I reckon he'll be fired up for this one. So I'll say Kiefer Moore. So we've got 2-1 for Rossi. This could be interesting because we've got a different score from the leader, 2-2. And I'm saying 1-1. We'll find out. We'll get Stewie's prediction as well. Although he probably won't be answering his messages. He'll be in a bar somewhere, 15 pints of Guinness in. So maybe we'll get a left field prediction from Stewie as he tries to climb the table. Anything else to mention, friends, before we take our leave? As I said, about 45 minutes we're coming up to now for today's pod. Rossi, you've got... If you're listening to this on Friday, which I know most people listen to it straight away as soon as it drops, as you should do, there's a live pod coming your way tonight, isn't there, Rossi? The Fan Social. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, so you want to get more fix, more build-up for the game on Saturday. Tune in, 7 p.m. live on all platforms. Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. We were going to do Instagram, but I think we need to actually update our plan. So if we want to do that, so basically if you want to...
Oh, you got to pay more, have we? Is that...
I'll pay more, so...
Just for the Insta?
This is Ross's way of holding you hostage here.
Yeah.
By announcing the plans live.
That seems weird.
Yeah, ludicrous. But yeah, live. Tune in if you haven't got anything
else. Who's with you? Who's joining you?
Good old Bono, the man with a billion nicknames, as you mentioned on Monday.
He does. Yeah.
Great question. And then also Welsh Mark, all the way from... Wales, obviously. Wales. Join us live.
Welsh Mark, all the way from Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's 7 o'clock tonight, isn't it, Rossi?
Yeah.
Superb. AJ, anything else from you? You've done well to make your way through this show. I will,
Thank you. You
are so fevered, I will look over your blatant, flagrant insubordination during this pod.
Oh, God. I'll come back and listen to when I said gotten or something. We talk about heroes in terms of, like, we had it with the Derby Day chat, and I want to raise a potential hero in the final week of the season because there is a player who's gone onto his Instagram story and has announced a change in haircut.
I've seen this.
Week of the season.
It's bloody lovely.
I've turned my light off so it doesn't glare when I show my phone, but let me show you the Marcus Harness afro.
It's a lovely look for Marcus. Obviously he's a good.
Built up. That is the hero's haircut. I'm very excited by this. He's got something. He's planning something. Something's in the works here. Maybe starting tomorrow. Who knows? But yeah, I'm excited.
Excellent. You heard it here first, then. Marcus Harness is going to be the hero of the last week, based entirely on his fantastic new look. I want to shout out, before we go, one of the listeners who's hit us on Facebook, Andy Robinson, who got in touch to say he enjoyed me talking about whiskey on the last show. Clearly, Andy, a man of class and taste. He also says that Lagavulin 16 is his favourite, and he recommends Tobermory Ladaig 18 as one to try. That's a new one for me, Andy, so we'll be adding that. Thanks for getting in touch. He says he's trying to save some of that good whiskey to celebrate promotion, but getting through it fast, don't blame you, Andy. Anything else in, friends, before we take our leave? There's obviously, I need to remind people to support our sponsor. Use the code KOA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery on all that excellent clobber there. And also, obviously, we already mentioned, we're live across numerous social medias tonight, but you can also follow us, Kings of Anglia, on TikTok. AJ, in your fevered state, have you been able to still be doing some TikToks for us?
Of course. Any fevered state, I can make sure I'm doing that. Don't worry. Everything will go up there.
Superb. Right then, friends. So that's a little short mini podlet in the books, just to give you something to listen to on your way to Hull. Fingers crossed. It's rubber meets the road time, isn't it? Tomorrow for Ipswich Town. Three games left. Win them all, they're in the Premier League. It's as simple as that. But one suspects it's not going to be quite as simple as that. We'll be back on Monday to break it all down, speak to you again. Have a great weekend, whatever you're doing. I'll speak to you next time.